Let's talk some PGA golf. Who better than our next guest, who's been kind enough to have joined us in the past and on the heels of the U.S. Open in her backyard again today. She's a host on New York's All Sports, WFAN. Check out her sports interview on Twitter. The handle is at Ann Liguori. And always a pleasure to get to speak with you. How are you and yours doing during these, let's say, most unique times?
Yes, exactly. Well, I'm wishing all your listeners the very best. We're hanging in, and I'm just grateful that we are golfers and that there obviously is social distancing with golf. So in kind of ironic, twist to this crazy time, golf has really experienced a resurgence because more and more people are playing and, they're getting their kids to play. And during the summer, particularly when a lot of camps were not organized and happening, a lot of families would go out and play golf. And then with the, professional golf scene, the PGA Tour really months ago took the lead amongst all the sports, and they got everybody on the phone from PGA of America to the USGA to the LPGA and the RNA. And Augusta National, everybody kind of got on the phone and they figured out this schedule. And, it's great that, a lot of tournaments didn't happen, but it's great that, there were majors that were rescheduled. And the U.S. Open at Wingfoot was fabulous. It would have been better, obviously, with spectators and right. Fans were truly missed. It was very strange walking around Wingfoot and not seeing any fans out there. But I'm just grateful. And I think New Yorkers are grateful that the championship was held, because obviously it's in Westchester. It's in a little town called Mamaroneck, very close to New Rochelle, which for many months was really the epicenter of the pandemic. And it was a big question mark for most of, late spring and early summer, whether the U.S. Open golf championships would even happen. And so they did. It came off great. And, right before that was the U.S. Open championship, Steve. So that happened, which was incredible. Of course, there were no spectators there either. But between tennis and golf and Yankees, Mets and Islanders and everything else, we do. And all with NFL starting, I think the sports scene seems to be, going full steam. So in sports, we like to say we're an escape from the realities of what's happening in the real world. And, so far, on wood, I think it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, really enjoyed the Islander run. It had been a while. And I know you're born and raised in Ohio and went to school in South Florida, but you've been hosting shows and kind of a staple at the core of the New York media for a while now. I've got to ask you about the passing of Tom Seaver. I mean, I'm somebody born in North Jersey in 1960. I feel like I lost a part of my childhood. But if you could kind of explain the pulse of the New York fans and kind of the reaction and the outpouring when that news hit.
Yeah, obviously, he was Mr. Met. I mean, he was just incredible. And not only, was he one of baseball's greatest, pitchers, Hall of Famer, et cetera, but, then he went into the broadcasting booth. And, ironically, I did not grow up in New York. As you mentioned, I grew up in Ohio. But when I did come to New York to start working in the sports broadcasting world, I would see him at Shea Stadium all the time. He was, a broadcaster then, and always a gentleman, just a spectacular person, and he was mourned for, he'll be mourned for a long time, but all the radio stations were getting people on who played ball with him, who were on the various teams that he played for, who broadcasted with him. I know Art Chamsky, who recently co-authored a book on the Mets, had gone out to California to his vineyard, and he had recently, I guess about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, went out there and actually met with Tom Seaver. And so Art Chamsky was talking about how special that was, to him, to be able to get a few people together from the team and have a chance to talk with Tom and have dinner with him and see his vineyard out there. And so, it was an outpouring pouring of all these ball players who had, you know, known him and had, you know, played ball with him for years. And it was just really amazing what the effect that this guy had, not only, you know, the fans, but on all his fellow teammates. So it was a sad, sad week. And, you know, he was too young at 75. But he certainly, boy, he packed a lot in those 75 years, that's sure, for sure.
Sure did. Talking with Ann Liguori. So as for the Open, Bryson DeChambeau becomes the ultra rarity with a Fuzzy Zeller to play Wingfoot and finish with a red number. And I saw something interesting, a comment on Twitter you made to a guy who said, well, he's bad for the game. His length is freakish. He's got a very methodical approach. But I was with you in disagreeing. What do you like about his game and now standing as, you know, a champion and one of the new elite players?
Well, I have to say, anybody who criticizes, you know, Bryson DeChambeau is, you know, probably, I hate to say, maybe old school or very much a traditionalist, which is fine. Everybody has their own opinion, and I respect everybody's opinion. But Bryson DeChambeau is a workhorse. He, you know, was a physics major in school, and he is a true, you know, scientist. And when he's out there calculating numbers and figuring out physics and how that applies to a golf swing, it's fascinating to watch. And after, you know, a number of those early rounds, he went back to the range to continue to work on his game because the temperature was dropping, particularly after Thursday. It got cooler Thursday night. So after he played, he went back out to the range and put in a lot more time, a lot more hours on the range just to figure that all out. So he has worked very hard for everything that he has accomplished, and I like originality. I like people who are different and successful, and I can only applaud him and admire him for sticking to his guns and not caving amongst a lot of the criticism out there, because a lot of golfers are traditionalists and just don't like the way a lot of these young guns are just blasting the ball. And but, you know, he had to scramble out of the rough, Steve. I mean, the fairways are so narrow at these U.S. Open courses, particularly at Wingfoot, that, you know, a lot of times most of the time he was not on the fairway. So his short game was tested as well, and his putting was solid, very sharp. So he has an all-around game, and I think he really should be applauded for being so different.
No, I'm with you. You navigate that course at 6 under. You're okay in my book.
Absolutely.
You know, early last month, Colin Morikawa won the PGA. We were familiar with him because he played at Cal, all of 23 years old. But now you have Matthew Wolf, who was fourth then, last weekend second. He's all of 21 years old. And what's the buzz about the former Oklahoma State Cowboys game and how much of a force he's going to be?
Matthew Wolf, I tell you, he was impressive, and he played in one of those exhibition matches, when was it, in March or April, and I was impressed watching him then. I mean, obviously, he has a weird swing as well, right? Very unorthodox swing, but it works for him, and I don't think you have to have a cookie-cutter perfect swing to be a champion. Obviously, we're seeing that, so I like his attitude. I like his style. He had a great number on Saturday, and he ended up being, what, +5. Obviously, on Sunday, he went the wrong direction, but he ended up even par. So finishing second is incredible. He's only 21. Just think of the future he's going to have. So I like the fact that there are these young guys who have their own style, and they're out there, and they're confident, and, you know, they take no prisoners. They're basically, they know how good they are, and they're going out there, and they're doing amazing things with not a lot of professional experience, right? This guy, this is his first U.S. Open, only his second major championship. So, unbelievable performance by Matthew Wolf, for sure.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I've got some pitching wedges and putters older than him. But
I know, right? It's so much fun to watch them, I tell you.
I have a
good story about, you know, the amateur that made the cut. He was the only amateur that made the cut. Are you familiar with Johnny Pock?
Well, I wasn't until Friday night.
Exactly. Well, I had a chance to catch up with him on Wednesday before the championship even started. He's a senior at FSU. He's from New Jersey. And, boy, what a confident young man this guy is. He just was also very impressive. I asked him what his goals were for the week, and he said, I have three goals. One, I'd like to make the cut, which he did. Two, I'd like to be the low amateur, which he was. He was the only amateur of the 13 amateurs who were invited and qualified to play in the U.S. Open. He was the only amateur to, you know, to make the cut. And three, he said his third goal was to beat Tiger Woods, which he did. So I had, you know, because Tiger obviously did not make the cut. So I was impressed with him, and, he went out and shook hands with a lot of the players early in the week on the practice range, introduced himself, asked for their advice. He went up to Tiger and was completely in awe and said, Tiger, you've been an idol of mine. And he said, what's your advice for me this week? And Tiger looked at him and said, patience. You have to have a lot of patience out there. So, you know, some fun stories coming from this young amateur who was the only amateur of 13 to make the cut. And he played pretty well. I think he shot a plus four on
Sunday.
I'd have to see how he ended up, but I was impressed with him.
Yeah, and he shot 69 in the first round, so that's not so
exactly
bad.
He was one under. Very very solid performance from him.
I want to hit on Tiger. I mean, you know, when he ended the drought last year at the Masters, it seemed almost magical. Since he's actually missed the cut in three of five majors, incredible to think he turns 45 this year. Get a sense that just some courses are trouble for him. We know Father Time doesn't mess around. What do you make maybe of where his game is now and moving forward?
Well, you know, honestly, I predicted that Tiger, early in the week, I predicted he would not make the cut. I mean, he's only played in six tournaments. You look at his results, the results have not been great. He hasn't been able to play much, and he hasn't been able to practice much, and he's been open about that. He looked thin, so I don't think he's going to the gym and working out much. I think he's lost a lot of muscle mass, and I just think it's gotten to the point where, you know, he knows that some of these golf courses are going to be, you know, courses that he can excel on. And he's not sure if he can put four great rounds together. I think it was just incredible that he won the Masters last year. I can guarantee you, before that tournament, you know, that tournament, that major started, I can guarantee you he would not have expected him to win as well. I mean, it was just, you know, so great and so such a great surprise for everybody that he was able to pull that off. But, you know, he knows that course like the back of his hand, and it'll be interesting to see, as the defending champion, you know, how he'll do in November. You know, a lot of other players basically played themselves out of the lead last year during the Masters. So I don't think he's really playing or practicing that much. He will certainly be as prepared as he can be for the Masters in November, but I don't expect him to defend the title. I'd like to see him do well, but I just don't think his back's allowing him to put in the time necessary to be at the, you know, to be his best.
You know, the last thing I want to get to of the Masters, because we always hear a tradition like no other, and of course now we get a Masters closer to Thanksgiving than Easter or Passover, but, you know, Augusta National in the autumn, are we just happy we're going to see a Masters this year? What's your take on, you know, the chase for the green jacket at such a unique time of year in Georgia?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope I can go down. We have not heard what media will be invited. There will be no spectators. They've already announced that a while ago. There will be very limited media on the premises. They're being very, very careful. I think it will be interesting to see, you know, the foliage and the colors on this gorgeous piece of property in November. I think, you know, they're definitely going to have to start way earlier and probably use, you know, the first tee and the 10th tee, you know, because of sunset much earlier in November, right? So they're going to have to really, you know, reschedule the tee times and the format. And, you know, I just think it, as far as the course is, it just really depends on the temperatures. Now, from what I researched, the temperatures could be very, very cold, or you could have, you know, 65, 70. So, and that's kind of like it is in April. You never know what you're going to get. So the course conditions, I would think, would be a lot different. But it will be interesting to see, you know, who can be on top at Augusta for four straight days. And again, Tiger knows that course so well. And the people who know that course and know the nuances and where to hit the ball, what part of the greens, you know, to focus on. And, you know, it'll be great to see who is going to be ready in November to become a Masters champion.
The Masters in November, who'd have thunk it, folks?
Exactly.
She is the amazing Anne Liguori. Tune in Saturday mornings for her sports interview. Enjoy some of the top guests in the world on Twitter. The handle is @AnneLiguori. And I always enjoy our talks. Much appreciate your time and insight. Wishing you and yours well during these crazy times. And thank you so much for taking the time to join us. And as always, I look forward to catching up down the road.
Anytime. I really enjoy talking to you as well. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. You be well, Ann. Bye.
Take care.